It is fortunate.
Welcome to Real Race.
Real Racing USA, Bill. Come on, get it right now.
Real Racing USA.
That's what I was saying. I was just saying it slow while I thought. I have a thought process that goes on inside me instead of just rattling it off.
Was it? Was
John Sapergun? I was going to say.
Was that music specially for John or something? Is that what that was about?
Apparently, that's what I was beat in the head with and told the player I died.
I love America too. I love America too.
Did you tell him to play it?
I do not wish to wake up with a horse head in my bed. Okay.
Hey, John, anyway. You got anything to say?
Come on over.
Come on over here, John.
We've been dying. Not really. We've just been hoping you'd actually make it. We knew you would, but we just didn't know how soon. We were killing time with vampire biker babes. You're right after them. It's awesome. Just sit right there. Pick up the headset if you want it. Microphone's right in front of you. John Sapercone, ladies and gentlemen, DeSoto Super Speedway.
Welcome.
Glad to say hi.
Mr. Sapercone.
Hey,
that's what I like,
great
man.
Great being here, guys.
You walk the walk, you talk the talk, and you're here. That's 90% of
it. I like that song you played, that intro, to actually really, that's me 100%.
Yeah, I like this part. This part's really good.
America has made my fortune.
It's a great movie.
I believe in America.
That's right.
Yeah, but did you see what he's got on the wall in his office?
Actually,
he's got the gun and the picture of Scarface in the bathtub.
Oh, gosh.
We call that the little
trick. What's on your mind?
What's on his mind? It's on my mind.
There's a lot of things on my mind.
I see what's on your mind.
I know you were driving, so you couldn't hear part of what I'd said earlier about, we were talking briefly about the internet and your post. And I just said, well, at least it's out there and people know what you want. They know you want them to come talk to you about this fast truck, fast car,
well,
or whatever.
Here's the deal. Everybody says we don't go after our drivers. We don't go after these drivers. And we're going after these drivers and trying to help them. Hey, well, I'm trying to do something here, and you guys
keep
are...
Talking.
I can't keep my train of thought here. No, but anyway, here's the deal with that. I've had a couple of drivers come to me over the last 2 or 3 months, and they were talking about fast car and it. I mean, fast truck, and what's going on with that series and this and that. Well, I want to pick up the pieces before they fall apart. And the writing is on the wall with these guys. Sorry about your luck, but we need to do something for 07. I'm not letting the grass grow under my feet. We're going to make a change now. I'm going to see what's on their mind and go from there.
John, you said that you've had some drivers talking to you, okay? What are they saying? What are they basically saying? That's what everybody wants to know.
You know, what I can't understand with these drivers are, they come to me and they tell me, well, you know, we didn't get paid for the last race, the race before, this and that. And they took one of our motors and they said it was going to the dyno. It never went to the dyno. Then Bobby Deal's giving motors out. Then he turns around and tells somebody, well, I want $2,000 for that motor and I want half your winnings. And I'm like, is this guy for real? I said, are you people for real turning around, racing, and at the end of the night, not going home with a nickel? What's wrong with this picture?
Okay, now I got another question for you. Okay, you've been in this 5 years?
Six.
6 years, okay.
Going on my seventh.
If you were to ever on a Saturday night, Supers run, they're done, and you said, I'm not paying you guys.
Check's in the mail.
Check will be in the next race.
They'd hang me. They'd actually, you know, it's a tough thing. Hey, look, I want these guys to go home with something. We had that limited late model race 2 weeks ago. They ran, I think it was 18 laps. We had 9 cars. Unfortunately, whatever it is, I took the purse, I took an $8,000 purse, cut it in half, I divided it by 9, and paid each driver $436 for running 19 laps. Everybody was happy. They said, this never happened before. I says, well, you never raced here before,
no, it didn't.
Maybe.
You got a lot of press out of that, a lot of people talking because they were
talking to me. You know, and it was like, I thought it was the right thing to do. I didn't have to do that. And we scheduled the race for October 14th.
Cool.
But getting back to this fast...
Yeah,
this
will you be trying to run a few races at the end of this year to kind of get ready for next year?
For
or just wait until 2007?
With the trucks?
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, I
want to
get a few
the,
more races on
what
the
I want to do
race,
is get the feedback. I want to see what these guys want. And I'm going to ask them bluntly. I mean, it's time to change sides. It's time to go, step up to the plate. And we need to get this series going, And we got the perfect track to do it. I'm not looking to step on Don, nobody. I want them to maybe take three races, say, with the fast trucks, and go to Don's races and then count the points over to my series for my track, because I only run them twice a month for the season.
All right. So they get about 14 or 16 races a year, though, right?
I think about 18 or 20.
Okay,
is 18,
but what you're saying, you're going to combine points with that fast car?
Don will do anything I ask him to do.
Right, but see, now what we're seeing a lot of now is there's a lot not happy people with fast car, too. So how would you handle that?
Well, obviously I'm not going to turn them away.
Right.
And we're going to work with everybody. You know, I hear that our tech is no good. I hear their tech is no good. Nobody's happy with anything.
There's no good tech in Florida.
Hey, exactly. we got somebody calling in on the line. Real Racing USA, you're live on the air.
Hey, John, Bobby Dio.
Oh, hang the phone up. Only on Real Racing USA.
Now, to be able to hear him good, you're going to have to listen to him.
First of all,
give him a
chance. First of all, let me make sure you're getting the right information. Because, you know, we've got people on both sides of the fence that you might say tend to want to whine and cry and
yeah, get to the point, Bobby.
Okay. Well, no.
Take the marbles out of your mouth, will you, too, so I can understand you?
Oh, you're starting to get personal now.
Personal, Bobby.
Well, that's not really personal. I mean, I didn't put anything on the Internet to, you know, say we're going to go bring all the DeSoto people over here, you know. Whatever.
They wouldn't come, first of all.
Huh?
They wouldn't come, first of all.
Well, you know, that's why you have so much truck count. I guess the war is on here, right? What do you think?
There's no war.
Well, first of all, you made a statement that we haven't paid our drivers. I don't know how you do business, and I'm sure that NASCAR's got a pay window as big as yours, but we're a professional touring series that we mail our checks out. Now, if in case there is a problem that somebody, there's a protest or there's something's got to go to the dyno or whatever, it kind of holds up everything. And since these guys run a professional series, they know it, except for the two or three that are talking to you, that really probably run your truck series already. They just would like to have more competition. And I understand that. As far as us giving a motor away and selling a motor, that's all just rhetoric. It's absolutely BS. I don't know who's feeding you the stuff, but it ought to taste pretty good. Our checks are going out. We are held up now because we have a program within our rules that if you feel our tech inspection is not doing its job, which, you know, we do a pretty diligent job at the tech inspection. I mean, we've torn down, I guess, 10 crate motors this year to, you know, go after, you know, the ones that didn't fit within the, you know.
Okay, and your point is? And your point is, I'm trying to ask you, what is your point? What point are you trying to make here?
We've paid every bill that we've ever had. There is, in our rules, a...
I could care less what you do. You pay your bills. Who cares?
It sounds like you're throwing things up in the wind.
I'm not throwing nothing up in the wind. I'm telling you how it is and what's going to happen. Take your briefcase, put your stuff in it, and go down the road, okay?
Well,
I'm done with
you.
I'm done with you.
Well, you know, Rick Day said hi, by the way.
Yeah, we helped him out of Florida the same way we're going to help you out of Florida.
Oh, well, you know what? That's fine. You know what? Let me put it this way. I have always decided that I would not worry about things I can't control. And obviously, you know what? You have one of the greatest facilities in the South.
And I'm sorry you're not racing there because you got a thick head.
I got a thick head. You know, I try to make you money, but, you know, you end up
taking me to
the bank.
You could make money if you had a printing machine.
Ooh, that hurt. That hurt. Do you go home and make these things up or what?
I'm going to tell you a story about Bobby Dale. He comes in to me and he's gonna sell 2,000 tickets. He's going to put these fans in the stands. So you know what I say to him? All right, go ahead. Can anybody guess how many people he brought me? You want to know? 80 people! I had to get new grandstands. I couldn't stand it.
You know, the pictures that we have that show a panoramic view show a little bit different. You know, you can count people. No.
These are the tickets that you bought for me. You took 2,000 tickets. You printed the tickets up, and you turned around and tried to sell them. You brought me 80 paid people.
If you, in fact, think that's what happened, then you need to get your ticket counters because they're ripping you off or you're ripping somebody off. But that's okay.
This guy, you know, that's this why guy we don't is waste out to it. Lunch. Let me tell you something. He bought the tickets, gave me 2,000 tickets. He brings the tickets back to me. He pays me for 80 tickets. And he goes, well, John, I don't know what happened. I really don't know what happened, but I thought we were going to do better. Meanwhile,
wait
I threw
minute,
out $6,000.
How do you have packed grandstands and say you're going to do better?
Say what?
I got pictures of Pat Grandstand.
Not with you there.
Bert Thomas, that used to be a friend.
Bert Thomas, oh, he's another character.
Oh, my God.
He's going to run the ASA out of business. Bert Thomas. Hey, you want to hear a story about Bert Thomas, guys? Here's Bert Thomas. Here's Bert Thomas. He comes down, sneaks in the Speedway, takes pictures of my water, calls every town inspector. I have every inspector there. They said to me, John, we don't know what we're going to do with this guy. I says, this guy? I says, what are you doing to me? I says, well, this isn't clean, and he's dumping oil in the tomato fields. He's doing this, doing that. Where's Bert Thomas? We'll see where he is.
Okay, why don't we give Bobby a final thing, then let him go. They pick up this some other time.
Yeah, let me ask this question then. Bobby, will this make any changes in the way you're doing things through the end of the season, the way you've thought about things? Have you made any thoughts of making any changes to anything you do?
Well, we've got an announcement coming up on Saturday.
Yeah,
but,
what's the announcement? What'd you do, take another loan?
Do you hear a problem?
You want to borrow some money?
Well, yeah, but I don't know if I can afford your interest.
He's interested in your series.
You want to sell
without
it?
Without a doubt.
You want to sell it for a dollar? I'll give you a dollar.
Ooh, you sound like Don Arone.
Oh, he's... well, Don will give you two, I think.
No, he only offered a dollar.
No, he did?
That's okay.
Oh, all right.
You know, the funny thing is I sat down with Robert Hart and said how smart all of us promoters are, you know, that we have a series that made them money, but we don't go to their place anymore because of attitudes. He said, you know, you need to figure out how to work that. And you know, John, my God, you're the one losing the money, too. I mean, you know, we're going out and we're bringing, my gosh, to Auburndale and to Charlotte County and to Citrus and to Ocala. You know, do we need DeSoto? Nah. You know, would we love to race there? Yeah, man, we'd love to. I tried to rent the track for me. A guy named Joe, but he doesn't work for you now anymore either. What did he do?
Same thing.
Oh, you ran him out of the state. He's in North Carolina, I heard.
Excuse me?
Joe's in North Carolina or something? You ran
Joe
him out
left.
Of the state?
Joe left.
Let's see. Rick
was it
left,
my fault
Joe
that
left.
He left?
I guess I got to leave too, huh?
Hey, look, if you can't cut the mustard with me, you don't sit at the same table with me, and that's the way it goes.
Oh, well, that is? That's it. Well, you know, I don't pay out of a little window on race night. Now, I don't think NASCAR does either, but they're on a little different level, too.
Oh, now you're comparing yourself to NASCAR. Oh, wow.
Well, compared to you. Hello? Are we striking nerves? You know, last time I talked to you, when you called KGKI, we were very, very nice. And now you're not sounding very nice. I don't understand. But
business
I can understand
is not nice.
Wanting to
business
steal
is
them.
Not nice,
you know,
especially when you screw people.
Is it easier to make it or to steal it? If you can steal it, it's easier?
I'm not the one stealing.
Oh, you're not?
How do you ride around with a Mercedes and two brand-new trucks, crash people's trailers, don't tell them about it? I mean, what kind of person are you?
Oh, well,
you got no money?
Keep, go ahead, just keep putting it on. You know, keep putting it on. I'm just a dumb school teacher. God, John, can you help?
I feel sorry for you, Bobby. Take your suitcase. See you later. Good night.
Oh. Huh? Hello?
Bobby?
Yes, sir?
Thanks for the call.
Hey, are we still on the air now?
Yeah, we're still live on the air.
Okay.
I'm going to cut you off.
Give Bobby, hang on a minute.
Give Bobby time to wrap it up.
Give him time to make his last statement.
Yeah, make your appeal to what you think of the whole situation. Then we'll give John an opportunity to rebuttal, and then we'll go on down the road and see what happens, okay?
Some other topics.
Well, okay. The bottom line is, you know, we've been told five times we'll be put out of business, and, you know, talk's cheap, and that's okay. I mean, if you got nothing else to do, that's fine. You got to work on your front gate. But the bottom line is we're going to continue. We'll be there. Yeah, we got four or five tracks that don't like the Nazi program, you know, and this America is the land of the free and the home of the brave. And, you know, I guess dare to be great is all the terms that we seem to use. But, you know, there's a reason that people keep coming back to us, because it's family and everybody works together trying to make it. Everybody's been paid.
All right, Bobby, thanks a lot, man. We're going to continue this in another
thanks,
time.
Bobby.
So Take it easy, brother.
Well, what I wanted to say was thank you guys.
Yeah, we appreciate it, Bobby.
Well, thanks, Bob. I appreciate Bob. You guys.
We'll be talking again, hopefully, on an upbeat note, or you could be telling us about the great takeover.
There you go.
All right, man. Bye.
So,
all right,
so,
John.
Wow.
So, John, back to the deal with the trucks. What do you see as, like, really just going to wrap this thing up so that we quit having all of this chaos and confusion about what could be a really good deal with the truck series?
Well, like I said, we're going to need to really work on it hard, get this teching, correct, try to help these racers and make this stuff right. I don't see anybody else except Fast Car working with these guys and trying to get their stuff right. And it's a bunch of baloney what's going on. And I don't know all the facts. I will tomorrow night, though. And I will state them. And I could care less.
So are you going to listen to these guys, get input from these guys?
I will take all the input from them. Yeah. But I will tell them in black and white. I won't do smoke and mirrors. I will tell them we're going to do this, this, or that. And I will do it. And that's it. Done.
Now, I got to ask you, though, do you think having an in track, so to speak, being able to deal with Robert Hart, Don Nerone, and these people to make more tracks available to the racers and stuff in the long run, think that's a feather in your cap going to help you out?
Well, I can tell you this, the thing right now, whatever Don wants to agree to, or Robert Hart, or Bronson, or Billy at Lakeland, they can speak for me, as I can speak for them. And that's not the problem that we have. That is not it. It is not the problem. I mean, we get along. We got the 5-6 best tracks in Florida. We get along like brothers.
Well, I understand the personal problem that Robert Hart and Don Nerone have with Bobby Deal. I know where that came from. I'm not sure if it's just the one incident about the 80 tickets or something that gave you a bad taste in your mouth about Bobby Deal.
Well, you can't have. Here's a for instance. When I took over the racetrack, they came one day, and their tech officials were doing some crazy stuff. They turned around, and I just couldn't deal with it. And I just said, pack up your crap and get out of here. I said, I'm not going to deal with you people. You're crazy. They turned around. I had to get the cops to get them out of there, off of my private property. They tell the cops that I put drugs down in my pants. Now, these are Bobby Deal's officials. He put drugs in his pants. I went into tech shit. I told you, want me to pull my pants out? I didn't ask you to do that. I said, well, don't make accusations like that. You're supposed to be a professional series. What are you doing here? And that's what happened.
Well, okay.
I had a deal with a person like this. He comes in, he's going to sell tires, he's going to sell fuel. Well, who is this guy? He brought 80 people to my racetrack. He's full of crap. Give him the tickets. Any racetrack out there, give him the tickets to sell. I guarantee you he can't bring you 200 people.
America has made my fortune. I believe in America.
All right. You've heard both sides of the story. We'll see how it plays out. If you want to be at the meeting tomorrow night, DeSoto Speedway, is that correct?
Tomorrow night, 6 o'clock.
DeSoto
Anybody Speedway. That's invited, wants to come down and talk about it. And here's another thing, the fast late models. How is this guy paying $10,000, $12,000 purse, promised a $40,000, $50,000 points fund for these guys, and at the end of the year, what is he going to give him? Mark my words. Mark my words, I don't think it's going to happen.
Right here on Real Racing USA.
I got the only series in Florida, $30,000.
It's always nice to kick it off with a
home run. $30,000 points fund, $10,000 a winner. You tell me one track, one series that does it in Florida. You can't answer it.
I got to say something. You know, when last night I was doing some preparation for tonight's show, and we ran across, I have a tape of our very first Real Racing talk radio show that Rick and I did. Together with some other people at the Pier restaurant.
Right.
And
what did I say?
John Sapricone had just bought the track. He'd only had the track for 2 weeks when we did that interview. I listened to the interview, and I got to say, if nothing else, you're a whole lot more confident and assertive about your position now than you were.
Six years ago?
Six years ago.
I had to get a hold of the reins. I had to see what we needed to do, work out all these problems. There's a ton of problems. Everybody thinks we just open the gate on a Saturday night. Okay, we're gonna, and then we're going to go close it at 11, 12 o'clock, and we're going to go to the bank Monday. But that's not the way it works. It does not work that way. And I challenge anybody, anybody out there, to step in my shoes for a week.
There you go, man.
Laid the gauntlet down. Hey, I tell
Jerry
you what.
Jerry Benner, Rick Williamson.
Well,
might be a I don't think the
nothing
against those guys personally, but
we could have.
I don't think they're up to the task.
Jack, we could have Powder Puff Race Director Night.
There you go.
There you go.
That sounds like a great idea. I think we should try something like that.
Powder Puff Race Director Night.
Take a breath. Catch your breath.
Actually, your buddy Leroy Davidson sort of tried that a little bit down in Charlotte. I remember he did do some stuff like
how'd it work.
He bailed them out after an hour or two.
They got way in over their head.
I'm not bailing nobody out. You're in it. You got it.
All right. Sounds like a good time to take a breath. So don't go away, folks. We'll be back with more. race.
Real Racing USA.
I'm just a race talked out.
Presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. All You Can Eat Buffet Inventor.
Mr. All You Can Eat Buffet Inventor.
You've given us the real American dream. A tray, 15 feet of food, and a little sign that says, "Go nuts, buddy."
Oh, pinch me, I'm dreaming.
Pushing side dish innovation to its limits, you offer creamed everything and 400 flavors of gelatin.
Feed it frenzy.
If there's beef, you'll chip it. If there's chicken, you'll fry it. And if there's gravy, well, then everything's going to be okay.
Thank God for the gravy.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, buffet boy. You know the way to a man's heart and a few hundred tasty ways to challenge it.
Mr. All You Can Eat.
It's no wonder everybody says nobody beats a Dayton Andrews Dodge deal. I mean nobody. They must sell 200 cars, trucks, and vans to break all sales records. In order to do that, they'll guarantee $1,000 if they can't beat any deal you bring into them on any new or used vehicle in stock. Every new Dodge drastically reduced. Every used vehicle drastically reduced. How about no money down? Take advantage of these great offers with lender's approval. $1,000 guaranteed includes rebates, and they reserve the right to buy back a vehicle from the selling dealer to give to their customer at a lower price. Ask about the $4,000 minimum trade-in allowance. Check out the Dodge Caravans, the Durangos, and the Neon. This week, Dayton Andrews Dodge is offering the lowest prices and also no money down. Call 321-0500. See that the Dayton Andrews Dodge way beats all the other ways to shop for a vehicle. 22nd Avenue and US 19 in St. Petersburg, Dayton Andrews Dodge.
Back to Real Racing USA, live from the Chinook River Grill in Bradenton, Florida. Let's go back to Bill, Jack, and Rick with tonight's show.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. What a way to kick off the show as we go. It was making the news lately, so of course we wanted to talk about it. And you can make your own opinion and be at the meeting, maybe make your own assumption as to what you think should happen or shouldn't happen to truck racing in Florida. But I will say this, for as many years as he's been thumping along with the American Race Trucks, the Southern Pros, and all the other things that Bobby Deal has been into, he has a lot of folks that do appreciate what he's done. and we'll stand behind him 100%, so we'll see how it goes. Meanwhile, back at the Schnook River Grill.
Schnook?
Schnook River Grill. It's my French accent. The Real Racing USA show continues, and we've got a gentleman sitting down with us now who is one of the historians of Florida racing.
Absolutely. You know, you got your Marty Littles, you got your Donnie Hemleys, you got all them guys, and what we got with us, well, who we got with us right now is Bob Culbertson. And Bob, how long you been doing videos out there in DeSoto?
Turn him on. Always forget the small stuff, don't we?
Turn the mic on this small stuff. I've been in DeSoto for 23 years this year. I started, 1983. I was out there and taped one class for a friend. And then people started asking me, tape this, tape that. And so one thing led to another, and I started a business.
Wow.
Been there ever since.
You got there just before Karen did. Karen, the score.
Yeah.
And Karen was there.
Bob, you've had a lot of video go up on television, extreme shows, Leroy's Fire.
Yes, we've had several pieces go on the air on national television. I've had, I think we've done over the years, we've done four different television shows on cable TV, and this video has taken me to some places that. Racing never took me. I've been around racing for 53 years, and I think I enjoy the video better than I did the racing.
Yeah, you've recently started putting up old DeSoto clips up there. Gone back deep into your archives. I mean, how many tapes? I mean, do you got a whole room full of tapes? Is that what you got?
Well, I've got I've got a barn that's 40 by 30. And half of it has got a loft up top, and about a quarter of that is full of tapes. And it's some of them, like some of the old ones, the colors kind of gone away or changed colors. But the thought's still there, and I'm really enjoying going through some of the old stuff, you know, because I'm getting old too. So. it's really been fun going through. And you know, when I go through the old tapes and put them up, it brings back a lot of memories, like with Leroy's thing. You know, I was Leroy was a beautiful guy, or still is, for that matter. But you know, it just broke my heart to see that happen. You know, but you know, like I said before, I've been around racing for 53 years, and I've seen a lot of bad accidents in those years. And Leroy's is the worst fire I've ever seen, and it really. I think it really served to putting that on the internet, and then it had 400 and something hits on it that I can remember, maybe more now. But I know some of the young guys that are racing out there, and if you're listening to me, I want you to listen hard, because you know what can happen out there. Safety is, in my mind, is the foremost thing, and that safety equipment's more important than to me than your engine or your tires or anything else. That you go home at night and your body's all in one piece. That's what really matters.
And there's a lot of young drivers that do not know the rules of the road when it comes to safety equipment after so many years, new belts after so many years, new helmet, that kind of stuff. That's just simple stuff to take care of and take care of yourself, good fire suits and so forth.
Right.
It's hot in Florida. People hate those three-layer suits, but my gosh, when you're sitting in that flame, it is a great thing to have.
Well, just in the last few weeks, if they've looked at Karnak or DeSoto site, either one, I put up two or three fires, and you can see Leroy was in the car a long time.
Oh yeah,
and he only had a two-layer suit on, and he had no gloves, and so his hands were burnt real bad. The thing that saved Leroy, I think, well, he got himself out. No, nobody could have gotten in there to get him. If you've ever watched that clip, you know that it would have been impossible for anybody to get in there and get him out. And I think, I know Leroy's never told me this. I've talked to him several times since it happened. At the time I gave his family clips of the video. But I think Leroy was trying to back it out of the fire. I think that's why he stayed in there as long as he did. I've never really asked him about that, but You know, I kept hearing the engine firing, and you know, but it just wasn't moving. I think transmission was locked up. But anyway, that said, I think a lot of the young guys need to see what happens when you have a bad fire like that. And that other one I put up, but it was a pretty bad fire, was a boy from Naples. I can't remember his name right now, in a Legend car. And he flipped it, and it landed back on its wheels and sat there for a minute and a half maybe, and then burst into flames.
Now, yeah, I was there that night for that one, and also the open wheel modified one where it started raining down the front stretch, and they all piled up in turn one. That was a horrific fire.
I got to ask you though, in the number of years you've been out in DeSoto and so forth, have you seen good changes as we've seen throughout NASCAR and so forth about safety and fire safety and the stuff that you do?
Yes, I have. I think Greg Clark was probably one of the better safety crews I've ever seen. I think the safety has improved at our track quite a bit the last few years, or whatever. I don't remember exactly when Craig left our track, but he was good at what he did. Sometimes he was a pain, I guess. But,
yeah.
Some people say that about me too. I guess that's all right.
And it's kind of a joint effort. It's got to be, the tech guy's got to be watching when he's pre-teching cars and stuff for what they've got. The team themselves have got to take care of their driver a little bit, make sure they got good equipment.
That's right.
The track owners kind of keep an eye on things. The race officials, you know, if you see something that's not, you know, not right. I remember seeing a guy at East Bay Raceway Park had cut the fingers out of his gloves just so he could feel better on the wheel in a sprint car. And I brought that to someone's attention. They made him change them.
In a sprint car, that's bad.
So
they got hot fuel.
Well, Bill, you know, I mean, Bob, when you're videotaping like that, and let's say the Leroy incident or the kid in the Legend car, we'll take Leroy for instance. I mean, you knew Leroy really good. Mm-hmm. How hard is it to keep that camera focused and on that while you're doing that? I mean, if you know somebody in there, you know.
It's hard. And to join on that, have you ever been in a position where you felt like, well, if I threw the camera down, I might have a chance to make a difference?
Well, yes, I have. I have. You know, I can remember one Sunday afternoon, we had a 200-lap plate model race, and I can't remember his name. Maybe Rick can remember the number. It was 5-5, Double Nickel, they called him. Remember a fellow from Fort Myers?
Yeah,
I can't recall his name. But he got together with somebody down on the coming down the back straightaway, and I got him coming right in front of me, and I got fire going on each side of me, you know, and I never even contemplated letting the camera down. It is so neat to be in the middle of all that, you know. But it just, and that's, I can't remember his name, but that was, tore his car all to pieces, you know, and he happened. Well, they had that WTBS up in Atlanta, had a motorsports show on Thursday, but it doesn't matter. But anyway, they showed that clip, and a few weeks later he said to me, he saw that clip on TV, and he said, I never thought I was going to break into national television that way.
That's it. Now, you've got a lot of other great shots, though, of accidents as they happen, people completely off the ground, upside down, flipping and doing things over the years. Does that come with just a knack for knowing who's bumping and banging in one corner and knowing to watch them in the next?
Well, a lot of it, I think, comes from being out there on the track and seeing somebody get squirrely and staying away from them, or trying to get around them or get away from them. And I think a lot of it is just that, being around it so long. You know, when I see somebody getting squirrely, I get on them and follow them a lap or two, and they straighten up, and I go somewhere else.
I know Rick's picked up on it, and I did it the whole time I've been announcing. That's what I'm watching for. I'm looking for somebody just beating on somebody's tail. You're going to try to get by them, and then there's going to be this incident or going to be some confrontation at some point into the corner. So that's always neat.
Well, there's a special vantage point, too, that's a lot different from what you have, being down in the track or near, like right on the track level, as opposed to being up high. You see little things that you don't necessarily see from up top, too.
Yeah.
Have you always been in turn three, so to speak, or have you tried to move around different areas to see if it's any better?
Well, that's the only place I've got no fence.
Oh, okay.
And that was really my reason for being there. I really like the shot coming down the back straightaway. I mean, that's really a neat shot. I get the... excuse me, a lot of times in the late model races and sprint races, I'll get real tight on the cars as they come out of two, and I'll get them fast coming under me, you know, and that really.
Have you ever tried standing down inside the track, like 18 or 24 inches from the track surface as they go by?
Yeah. I've been there.
Didn't stay long. Huh?
You know,
and now he's back up in turn three.
You guys talked about Don DeRong a while ago, but Don and I built that little tower that I shoot out of now, and I think it's probably 18, 19 years ago we built it, and I've replaced the wood on it twice. But the main reason for doing that back then, they used to let people up on the hill, you know, fans or car owners or whatever. We don't do that so much now, but I was having trouble people walking in front of me, you know, because I used to shoot right on the ground right there, and then sometimes I'd get right up the wall and I'd get them, you know, going right into the turn.
Ever get splashed with water, hot water, any pieces and parts?
The only part I ever got that I can remember was a part come off of Ray Montrager's car and hit me in the stomach. That's the only, and then I put a board up on the.
Put your own little vest up, huh?
Yeah.
Did you miss the shot? Did you keep shooting?
Oh, I kept shooting. Kept shooting. And I looked at my belly as if I had a hole in it. But that's the only. I had another night, somebody lost a tire coming down the back straight and.
Hit
the wall right in front of me and went right over my head. I shot it. What are you going to do? I couldn't have moved then if I wanted to.
How many times through the years have they come to you and said, Bob, we need to go to the videotape?
Oh, many. In fact, we used to have, I don't remember who the promoter was then. Been a long time. But we used to have video in the pit tower. There and they would at the end of the night, the drivers would line up to
come see it.
Dick Westfall, I think, was flagging in, and they'd line up to want to see the video.
They still have, I think, John, don't you still have video in the tower for the finish line?
Yeah, for the start.
Yeah, the finish line. But that's pretty cool. Well, I many more years of taping, man. I hope to see you out there for many more years. It's really nice to see some of the stuff you do.
Yeah, like I say, I'm getting old, but as long as I can still hold a camera steady, and I'd like to say, you know, with John and people that are listening out there, of all the promoters that have been at DeSoto, I've been there through all of them, even the first ones, Stanley and Gene that built the track were the first ones, and I think John runs the tightest show of any of them. You know, he's got. The show just is continuous. You know, there's no, there seems to be no dead time, even when we've got a cleanup, you know, on the track, you know. So, you know, that's
good deal.
Yeah, he's
it's always
well,
nice.
Bob, if people want to get videos from the past or this weekend's racing, how do they get a hold of you?
Well, you can call track, I guess, baby, and give me my number. Or my number's air code 941-322-1019.
101. Do you go back? I mean, if somebody called up and said, hey, my Uncle Jimmy used to race in 67 or 69 or whatever years you were there, you'd be able to pick it up for him maybe if you still have it?
Well, yes, I do that quite often. I had somebody call me or they emailed me, I guess, here just a while back, and their uncle or somebody had raced there in 91 or something, and they wanted me to see if I could find a video of them. So, but anyway, that's
plus you found a new hobby too. You've been putting a lot of videos on the Florida Stock Car Racing message board.
Yeah.
So and people can go there and see video clips, and you can also get your email address right there.
That's correct. And if anybody's got a pencil, my email address is flvideo50@hotmail.com, and I'll be glad to.
What was that?
They can listen to this over and over.
FL Video, Florida Video, 50@hotmail.com.
There you go.
All right, man. Thank you for dropping by and talking to us, man.
Thanks a lot, Bob. See you Saturday night, brother.
A lot of great pictures and stuff. All right, folks, don't go away because we're going to take a little break here at the top of the hour. We'll be back with some more great
coming back with the Madman. We're coming back with the Madman.
No, he stands so close to the track. Watch out!
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more.